Well, we're back thinking about John Kennedy. John Kennedy, like we said, was the youngest elected president in American history. His code name will be the New Frontier. And one of the things that will be named on the night of his assassination and one of the descriptors for his presidency will be Camelot. John Kennedy is a northerner. He will survive a series of debates with Richard Nixon. They were the first televised debates in American history. And John Kennedy's very polished in these debates. He wears makeup. He stops the campaign trail to practice. And, of course, Richard Nixon does none of these things. He comes right off the campaign trail. He's been sick. And he just doesn't, in fact, look very, very presidential. But that 1960 election, very, very hotly contested, will say a lot about who Kennedy is. He is a man of wealth. He is a very smart person, having written at least one book, if not two, before becoming president. He had survived his PT boat in World War II in the Pacific being cut in half by a Japanese destroyer. He had helped to rescue the great majority of his crew. So these were things that were on people's minds going into the 1960 election. And also, John Kennedy had been a congressman from Massachusetts. He had been a senator from Massachusetts. He had some healthy congressional experience during this time. But a lot of people were nervous about his Catholic faith, that somehow if John Kennedy was elected as a Catholic, that rumors were spreading that the Pope would be controlling the country. In the midst of the election, John Kennedy does an excellent job giving a speech to Protestant ministers in Houston, Texas. And you can find this online. And he says some very remarkable things about his faith and what his leadership of the country might look like if elected. And in a lot of ways calmed people who were nervous about his Catholicism. There's no question that television had an impact on the campaign. And Kennedy won a very, very close election, and like his opponent Richard Nixon would have done as well, took a very hard line against communism. Remember that Kennedy also influenced by Michael Harrington's book and sought to fix an economy by the 1960s that was stalling a little bit. And so one of Kennedy's suggestions was to pass a tax cut in order to help stimulate the economy. And that's something that he would work on. Like we said in a past lecture, 1959, Fidel Castro in Cuba will lead a revolution. So one of the things people were talking about was how to remove Castro from office. And in the early 1960s, there'll be a plan called Operation Mongoose to try to remove Castro from power. One of the most embarrassing things in the early part of Kennedy's administration was something called the Bay of Pigs. And this was a mission cooked up by the CIA during the Eisenhower administration to send Cuban exiles with American help and have them land in Cuba and invade Cuba at the Bay of Pigs and overthrow Castro. The United States gave immense military aid to this process. Unfortunately, in the middle of the operation, John Kennedy decided to call off the air cover. Later on, he comes before the American people and he admits his failure in the Bay of Pigs, and he worked tirelessly along with his brother, Attorney General Robert Kennedy, to bring the captured invaders home. This was an embarrassment to the Kennedy administration, but also it allowed for his leadership numbers to come up, because what does he do? He gives a press conference, comes on television, and admits and tells the American people what he had done. And he uses a quote by Lincoln about defeat being an orphan and success having 100 fathers. This gave him a lot of credibility in the press and in the mainstream. Unfortunately, tensions between the United States and Cuba will be going up. There's no question that John Kennedy was in pain for a good bit of his administration. He had already had two back surgeries. He had had Addison's disease, which affects your kidneys. He would wear a back brace for most of his presidency. He would take certain experimental drugs not approved by the FDA, administered to him by a doctor whose code name was Dr. Feelgood. These were experimental barbiturate drugs to help his back condition, help his kidney condition. But he had a very reckless sex life. He was having multiple affairs against his wife. And when the FBI comes to him and lets him know that one of his girlfriends is also a girlfriend of a mafia boss from Chicago, Sam Giancana, and when the FBI comes to him and gives him the news about Frank Sinatra, how he is linked to the mafia, these are things that John Kennedy has to deal with. The high water mark of John Kennedy's presidency is the Cuban Missile Crisis. The Cuban Missile Crisis takes place for 13 days in October of 1962. And this stems from the findings from a U-2 high-altitude spy plane that the Soviet Union is building missile launch sites in Cuba. Through a series of negotiations, John Kennedy and the Soviet leader Nikita Khrushchev will work out an agreement by which Americans will take their missiles out of Turkey in exchange for Soviet missiles being taken out of Cuba. And also the United States will place a military quarantine around Cuba to prevent more Soviet missiles from getting to Cuba. This works out very peacefully, and it shows John Kennedy's ability to be a leader. The military at the time wanted to invade Cuba, wanted to drop nuclear weapons on Cuba, and John Kennedy purposely gets together a group of cold warriors known as XCOM to offer him suggestions. And Bobby Kennedy, who will write the book 13 Days, somewhat a self-serving book, but will recount how John Kennedy lays out the plan to quarantine Cuba and also communicates with the Soviets by way of a back channel to work out the deal to exchange and remove the missiles. After the Cuban Missile Crisis, you have a hotline being established between the Soviet Union and the United States to make sure that there's clear communication. You also have the first nuclear test ban treaty being signed by Great Britain, the Soviet Union, and the United States. In 1961, the Berlin Wall goes up. And later in 1963, John Kennedy will travel to West Berlin to the plots and use the famous phrase, "Ich bin ein Berliner," I am a Berliner too, to talk about how the United States will stick with the West Berlin people. Like we said, John Kennedy's administration was known as the New Frontier. Kennedy promised to put a man on the moon by the end of the decade, a very ambitious goal. After all, he had been elected by purporting that there was some kind of missile gap between the Soviet Union and the United States. But after the launch of Sputnik in 1957, places like Cape Canaveral will be created very quickly, or what becomes the Johnson Space Center in Texas will be created to advance man into space. One of the things that Kennedy will do is he creates the Peace Corps in 1961. He will create the Green Berets as part of his flexible response program in foreign policy to send groups into a hot zone to take care of an issue and then quickly extricate itself from the process. One of the great strengths that John Kennedy had going for him was his wife, Jackie. She was a very young, beautiful lady. She was not seen as a grandmother like perhaps Mamie Eisenhower. She very elegantly gives the first tours of the White House once it was restored during the Truman era. She collects antiques. She brings artists to have concerts in the East Room of the White House. And also people could identify with Jackie because she was a young mother. This was one of the first times in recent past that there were young children in the White House, Caroline and John. Jackie was a very fierce protector of her children and often would not let them be photographed. And when Kennedy is shot, it's Jackie Kennedy who prepares the funeral for her husband. Like we said, John Kennedy's administration creates the Peace Corps. They'll also create something called the Alliance for Progress. This was a plan to try to restore relations with some Latin American countries. When Vice President Nixon had gone to Argentina as vice president, he was almost killed there. His car was turned over, spat upon. There were not great relations with many Latin American countries. Kennedy sought to restore that. It's in 1961 that Alan Shepard becomes the first American in space. In 1962, John Glenn will become the first American to orbit the Earth. And so this new frontier, this idea of going into space, of serving something higher than yourself, you know, after all, it's Kennedy's lines from the inaugural, January 20th, 1961, ask not what you can do for your country, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. A lot of folks talked about the high idealism of this time period, and of course that idealism was made ever more prescient after about just over 1,000 days in office when John Kennedy was shot and killed on November 22, 1963. This was a tough time for the United States. It was a tough time for the United States in foreign policy. 3 weeks before John Kennedy himself was killed, the Kennedy administration had warily signed off on the killing of the South Vietnamese leader, Nguyen Diem, and the restoration of a new government there. Kennedy later regretted kind of signing off on that coup, on that regime change. And basically by 1963, there were 16,000 American advisors, American troops in Vietnam. So we'll never know what Kennedy would have done in Vietnam. Some people suggest that he would have brought those American troops home. Others suggest otherwise. But in the early 1960s, you have James Meredith being admitted to the University of Mississippi. You have the integration of the University of Mississippi. You have the Freedom Riders, who are trying to integrate bus terminals throughout the North and South. You have the March on Washington in August 28, 1963, where Dr. King ends up giving his famous I Have a Dream speech. Kennedy is going to advocate for tax cuts. He's also going to advocate for a new civil rights bill, particularly following June of 1963 when the noted civil rights leader Medgar Evers is shot in Mississippi. And one of the things we'll be doing in class, hopefully, is looking at some of the Kennedy speeches, his speech on civil rights, his speech on the Cuban Missile Crisis. And another thing that Kennedy was really concerned about was peace. And so there's a wonderful speech that he makes at American University the summer after the missile crisis, and it's prominently called the Peace Speech. Kennedy will be a little slow on civil rights. He will understand that he's a New Englander and he needs to be pragmatic with Southern politicians. His Attorney General, Robert Kennedy, will be more actively engrossed in trying to work for civil rights. But the Kennedy era ends on November 22nd, 1963, and Lyndon Johnson will take the oath of office as vice president on Air Force One on the way back to Washington, And November 22nd, 1963 changes everything about the country. The next day, Lyndon Johnson's effects will be moved into the White House Oval Office. Kennedy's will be moved out. And Johnson will vow to win the war against poverty and also win an emerging war in Vietnam. And we'll see what the costs and effects are of trying to win two things at the same time.